turn with me to Genesis 3. Tonight we'd like to speak about faith. And we're so glad that we have some new people coming into our fellowship. And I want you to be conscious of the new people. And I want you to pray for them. And maybe you get to know them and be relaxed with people. To be relaxed with people is a blessing, isn't it? Turn to your neighbor and just say, you look pretty good tonight. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep at it. Okay. All right, back off. Calm down. Genesis chapter, okay, so we live by faith, and the new people that are coming in to our fellowship, we care about the church as a whole, and there are many awesome churches in our country and around the world, and we thank God we are a small part, we're part of the body of Christ worldwide. And we are characterized by our faith. We are characterized by our listening, by our worship, by our willingness to live not only by what we see, but to live by what we don't see. We live by faith. So in the beginning in our Bible, in Genesis 3, we see Eve tempted by the serpent. In chapter 3, verse 1, we have the serpent who came into the garden of God. Is that right? Did the serpent come into the Garden of Eden? Okay, why do you hesitate answering me? You think it's a trick question. If you were God, would you have allowed the serpent to enter? I think right there, you know. But isn't it interesting that God uses him as a tool? He comes into the garden and he tempts these free will creatures that God has just created, Adam and Eve. And when Eve looked at the tree that was in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge, she noticed. Where are we? In chapter 3 and verse 6. Thanks to the guys that put it up there. Look at how fast they are. Is that Cody up there? Remember, Cody is very wealthy and he's single. Or he's becoming wealthy. He's very past 11. Okay. Well, okay. Genesis 3. Verse 6, okay. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food. So there's the first point. She was being misled. It was more like a way you could trick a child. You know, when you trick a child, he might not know exactly what he's doing and where it's going. It's like that with Eve in the story. She did not sin as Adam did. Adam was well aware. Eve was more tricked into it. And we read that in 1 Timothy 2. All right, what happened? Her eyes, she saw the tree was good for food. There's another point. Not only was the tree also, wasn't it beautiful? It was pleasant to the eyes, verse 6. It was pleasant to the eyes. Isn't it fun to read the Bible? All right, now, food. Just kind of rub your tummy a little bit. Food. Oh, yummy. It's powerful. Your stomach, it is a very big part of life. And food is a big part of life. So you have a combination of elements because she is in a state where food is part of life. And she sees that the tree is good for food and it's pleasant to the eyes. The second thing, or third, we could say, is reason. So verse 6, she took of the fruit, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. So there's three things there, food, the tummy, okay, the eyes, it's beautiful, and then it will make you wise. That's reason. These are forces in our lives that we have to deal with, and we have to learn to live by faith. So let's put faith in that verse and change the verse. Not that we want to change the Bible, of course, but just for our meditation. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, she lived by faith. She's saying, it's good for food, but I'm living by faith. I have a stomach. I'd like to eat something, but I'm living by faith. God said not to touch it or not to eat of that tree, so I'm going to live by faith. How many men, when it comes to sex and women, they have a desire, like a hormonal, physical desire or craving, but they don't live by faith. They just give into it. They just do it because they don't live by faith. The second thing, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, but even though it's beautiful to look at, my life is more than what I see. My life has a lot to do with what people can't see. I live by faith in God and what God says. Okay? And then the third one, it'll make me wise, but I will live by faith. I don't have to be wise. God can make me wise the way he wants me to be wise. I don't have to be smart. I just want to be godly. I don't have to be clever. I just want to live by faith and have God in my life. I want to trust in God. I want to live by faith in God. I want to see what God will do. I will pay my tithes by faith. I'll see what God will do with my life and my finances. Regarding relationships, I will trust God for the meaningful relationships. We'll look at that a little bit later. Meaningful relationships with God. We are people that live by faith. We say prayers by faith. We come to church by faith. We share our doctrine from our hearts with people by faith. We may go to work, or we may do things that we don't like to do, but we may do them because we are faithful and loyal to doing the right thing, and I'm going to do the right thing by faith. Isn't that a great way of life? If I don't live by faith, my reason will lead me out of the old pathway of Jeremiah 6:16. My eyes will mislead me. Lot, which way do you go? And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that Sodom and Gomorrah was beautiful and a good land. I will go there. Then Abraham said, then I will go there. And if you go there, I will go there. And it's your call, because I live not by what I see. I live by faith in God. Isn't that a good lesson? Yeah. Okay. So, what does it mean in Matthew 4:4? I think I'll just keep going, and then we'll do the offering. And Matthew 4:4. And Jesus loves you. This is amazing. Jesus loves you. No, maybe not me. You know, he loves you. Accept that by faith. Man must, in Matthew 4:4, he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. So Eve, you see the tree is good for food, and with reason you're kind of developing the whole idea of disobeying God. I'm going to disobey God by what I see, what I feel in my stomach, and what the tree is actually beautiful to look at. So, and Jesus said, man must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we are learning that, to live by the words that come from God. Now turn with me to Hebrews 11. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You mean I don't really have it? I'm hoping for it? Yes, as I live by faith, that's enough. There's some substance in that, what I'm hoping for. Like we are going to go to heaven, and I'm hoping for that, but now I'm living by faith, and actually heaven is here also. Heaven is here, for we live by faith in God, and God is with us and has anointed us. I think the new people that come into our church in the last few months and coming months, I think people are looking for a message. They want to be challenged in life. They want to learn to live a different way. They want to learn their Bible. They want to learn to live by faith. It is different when you come into our church and we're singing passionately to God who we cannot see, and then sometimes we are raising our hands, like it says in the scripture, to lift up holy hands in 1 Timothy 2, that we greet one another by name, that we care about each other in our lives. We have privacy. At the same time, it's a community. We are a community of people that it can see things, but we see beyond what you see. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, we look not at the things that are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen. Like love may not be seen, but it's here. It's in our heart. Romans 5:5. Like making decisions in my mind, like I will believe in God. I believe that God will speak to my heart. I believe that because I'm living by faith, and the Bible says so, that he does that for us. And that we will hear a voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. Isaiah 30, verse 20. And take the old pathways, and don't turn to the right or to the left. But do what God has called you to do. Do the right thing. Make decisions by faith. How can I overcome my stomach, bad habits, my way of thinking? By giving heed unto thy word and hiding it in my heart. Psalm 119 and verses 9 and 10 and 11. How can my life change? By the God of all grace, who's called us to his eternal glory, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, and strengthen you. In 1 Peter 5:10, how? By faith in God. Proverbs 3:5. He is not against any of us. He is for us. He redeemed us with the blood of his Son. What more could he do for us in Isaiah chapter 5? Wherein have I wearied thee? In Micah 6 and verse 3. Testify against me. Are my consolations small with you? Job 15. Yes, Lord, you haven't done enough for me. No, God, I haven't seen enough. You haven't done enough for me. I need help. I need help. And God says, he that spared not his own son, shall he not with him freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. Yes, he will. He will care for us. Gather us like a hen with the chickens in Luke 19. Deuteronomy 32, like the eagle and the nest, and pushing the little chicks out of the nest to make them fly. So Moses said, this is like God in Israel. God provokes us in faith, puts us in a trial, and says, how will you live? I want you to live trusting me. So we just went through the Easter season and have heard messages about the cross and how Jesus suffered so much, and that's got to be our standard for life. If he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, then we should meditate on that, lest we be faint and wearied in our minds. Hebrews 12 and verse 4. If he had to go through what he went through, and he did it, then he's the captain of our salvation. And a captain is somebody you follow. You follow his courage, his righteousness, his love, and his faith. That's like us. So we have good days ahead as we live by faith. Look at Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance. There is actually, because of it, there is actually the presence of God in your life. There is love and joy and peace. There's actual substance in your suffering, your temptation, in your trial, and your struggle. When you live by faith, you become more than what you are. Set me on a rock higher than myself, in Psalm 62. Verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Remember, the disciples are all excited when they meet Jesus, and they're running around, and they're in awe, and then he's with them for 40 days, and that's a good meditation. It shows that they needed him. They needed him. They needed Jesus. He didn't just raise from the dead and disappear and they're left. They need him. They need him to walk with them, talk to them, teach them, be with them, comfort them, encourage them. It's not written in the Bible, but you could imagine, like Thomas looking at the hand again on the table. He said, I won't believe until I put my fingers in his wounds. And days later, maybe Thomas is still amazed that this is the Christ. They needed that. And then when he's gone, their faith is the evidence that it's true. Their love for each other is the evidence. Our presence here tonight is the evidence of something not seen. Our love for each other, the evidence of what is not seen. The dear people that run great risks in life to bring the gospel to the mountains and the deserts and the ghettos and the cities, it's the evidence of what is not seen. When we live a godly life, it's the evidence of what is not seen. When we say no, I was thinking how somebody said, it's so easy to sin nowadays. It's so easy to sin nowadays. And I was thinking, what does that mean? They're saying, you just go on your phone and you can pull up any number of things. It's so easy to sin nowadays. It's so easy to gossip. It's so easy to go on social media platforms. It's so easy to express your anger. It's so easy to be selfish. It's so easy when we are wealthy people, and the United States of America generally is, though there is poverty everywhere, of course, always, But we 1% of the whole world's population is something like 70% of the world's wealth or something like this. We are wealthy people. But without faith, we gorge ourselves with desires and lusts and passions, and we buy it, and we buy it, and we gorge ourselves, and nobody is saying, stop it, stop it, stop doing that, stop sinning, stop it. What are you talking about? Stop it. Trust God. Live by faith. Instead of feeding your sin nature, live by faith in God, and the Spirit will fill you, and you'll say, no, no, no. I don't know that we preach enough of those kind of messages where you deny yourself. You deny your lust and your passion. You deny your eyes. Go back to Eve in the garden in Genesis 3:6. Look at it. She said, so when the woman saw the tree was good for food, deny your eyes. Don't look at the tree. Walk away from the tree. I'm not looking at that tree. Why not? Because I'm living by faith. I'm not looking at the tree. You got it? I'm not looking at the woman the second time. I see the woman the first time, but I'm not looking again the second time. Why not? Because I live by faith. That's why I deny myself. I deny myself ungodliness because I already know what that is. Do you know what that is? What it is to have nothing going on in your life spiritually. America is spiritually dying. It's craving for what we have. They don't have the connection. They don't have the reality. They don't have God. They don't have the truth. They're starving for it. They don't even know what it is. They have no idea. They're wasting their life. They're living in a way without faith. But I want to say just very, very gently, and I want you to hear me. My request for all of us in these days is to pray that people, new people, in all of us would find Jesus Christ in a very real way. And it's just faith. And nobody knows how it works because it is spiritual and it's a God thing. God can bless you so much out of your seat. You could be blown away in one night and go home walking all like this far off the ground just saying Jesus is real. That can happen to you. It can also happen another way, that it just kind of slowly grows like the pizza dough that's rising and is filling the refrigerator. We had some brothers who were doing the convention, and they were making pizza dough, and they messed up the little refrigerator like this, and they put it in there, but the dough was coming through the rubber seals of the refrigerator, and when they opened the door, it was like, that might be how your life is changing and how you will know that God is real. That is, he's moving in me ever so slowly. But it's happening. My life is changing because I have found the reality of Jesus Christ. And when you find the reality of Jesus Christ, you are lit up. You go, wow, man, now I get it. Now I know what those church people are talking about. Now I know what's going on. There's something good. And you know, some people are afraid of that. I don't want my life to change. I don't want that to happen to me. And our answer to that is, I don't know what God has for you, but if you seek God, if you want God, he's all about it. He wants you. He loves you. It's better with God than without God. It's better to find him and know him than not to know him at all. And the only way any of us get here is by faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. I feel that in these days when we come into this room, there's some kind of joy happening. We are excited about our faith. I don't know what it is, but I feel it's the era, the time that we are in right now. I believe there is a second coming of Christ. Oh, glory to God. I hope it's soon. But if it's not, this is a great ride. If you live by faith, you'll have a great ride. You come screaming into heaven in a dune buggy, all covered with mud. You go, yay! And you go, man, thank you, Lord. That was awesome. Or maybe you're different. You want to enter heaven playing chess. That's okay, too. That's okay, too. But in any case, that the point of this new life is that we are the evidence of that which is not seen. And some people call it crazy. We call it God. And maybe some of our crazy is in there. But I'd rather be living, I like to live like that. Now, that's still not my point. I want you to go to verse 1, faith, Hebrews 11, 1, and we'll finish this up. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What do you have going on in you? What's going on, your neighbor could say. And by the way, this is the day and age of neighbors. Our neighbors, loving our neighbors. Who is your neighbor? Jesus answered that in Luke 10. Also the people living around us and people we work with. It's a time of love. It's a time of listening, understanding, and ministering. There's a lot of hurt, a lot of questions, a lot of fears, because people don't have faith in God. Faith grows, by the way. As you hear, faith comes. It increases. Your faith is increasing by hearing. Hearing, faith comes by hearing. Criticism has a place in a way, but there's a fleshly criticism and a fleshly unbelief and various emotions that happen in people. And they don't like it. The flesh doesn't understand or know the ways of God. But we must learn them and embrace them. Verse 2, faith is, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Who are the elders? The forefathers of the faith. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, David and Solomon and Isaiah and Jeremiah, the prophets. They obtained a good report. Elijah, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. Where did the world come from? Yeah, we say God made it. It's that simple. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Are you satisfied with that answer? No, I'm not satisfied with that answer. But for us, because we live by faith, we worship God. And our world of reason is subject to our world of faith. Our worship and our love, our spiritual life, our satisfaction, our oneness with the Creator. We become occupied with Him. It doesn't contradict science. Science is a part of life, and we appreciate it, and it's a field of knowledge and study. But it's not in the same category as our life of faith, because by faith, Peter walked on water, and in science, you cannot walk on water. By faith, the bones moved in Ezekiel. But by science, the bones don't move. By science, Christ is dead. But by faith, we know that He's alive. They are not contradictory. They just complement. One is in one field, and you can't bring the science into the world of the spiritual, because it's not spiritual. It's natural. And that is where it is. And it's not enough for me. I'm not satisfied by it. It doesn't feed me. It doesn't deliver me. It doesn't change me. It doesn't give me love. It doesn't help me in life. It doesn't anoint me. It doesn't motivate me. It doesn't give me any courage, any love, any passion. It's not, science is not enough for us. But God is. And by faith we know He made the universe, in verse 3. By the way, when people leave the faith, I don't mean greater grace or this church or any church, but when they leave apostolic faith and they just go to Eve's world of looking at the trees, thinking about the food, thinking about being smart and wise, then that world is so narrow. It's so limited. There's no prayer, no love, no passion, no compassion, no mystery. It's a frozen life. It can be crazy, extreme sports and relationships from one affair to another affair to another affair, a lot of feeling and emotion. But that alley cats live like that. Dogs live like that. Animals live like that. But you are not an animal. You are like an angel. You are like God. You're made in the image of God. And the only way to know it is to live by faith in God. And because of faith in God, God will visit you, fill you with the Spirit, and satisfy you, and encourage you, and open this book up to you, and help you. You'll be different. You'll forgive. You'll believe. You'll be kind at home to your wife or your children. I'm snapping at them. Get out of my... Where's the remote? Where's the remote? Where's the... You know, who took my, you know, just a nasty old man. What happened to him? He doesn't have faith. He's not trusting God. He's not asking God to fill him with the Spirit. He's not some humble. He's just a mean old man. How did he become like that? He just lived without faith. No humility, no submission, no doctrine, no body life, no brother or sister encouraging him, correcting him, no edification. No, he's just a frustrated, negative, complaining person. And have you met any of them? Yes, and I'm fearful that I would ever become like one. And I'm not really worried about it, but I want to say this. We're all the same. We're all the same, but there are those people. And just look at this chapter. Abel, by faith, Abel, verse 4. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah, verse 11. Then you go down, it goes, by faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. Go to 23, by faith, Moses. By faith, what does it mean? All of these people are the same as us. But how did Noah build an ark? By faith. How did Moses leave Egypt? By faith. How did Sarah have a baby? By the grace of God and by faith with her husband Abraham. How did these many things happen through the Bible? By people living by faith. And what about us, Greater Grace World Outreach? We don't have anything. We're no different from anybody. We got nothing going on except one thing, by faith. We live by faith. When we live by faith, something's going on in a spiritual way. And the demons flee in 1,000 directions, 7 directions. And 10,000 and 1,000 and so on in Leviticus 26, 9. And great things happen. We run around saying, Jesus, He's risen, He's risen. And Pentecost happens because God is at work in this world. He is at work in this world. Teenagers, they need to learn to live by faith. I don't care what your family problems are. You learn to live by faith. You love by faith. You forgive by faith. You pray by faith. You go to work by faith. adults, every one of us. How do you get out of your sin? You leave it by faith. How do you have more going on in your life than you could ever imagine? You live by faith. How do you overcome the devil? The victory is by faith in him. For this is how we overcome the world, even our faith. Now, Samson was in a lot of trouble. He was with a woman one night. He shouldn't have been there. He should not have been there. He gets up out of the bed with the woman. The woman is in the bed. He gets up out of the bed at midnight, and he's got this amazing strength, and he carries the gates 50 miles in a slope uphill to Hebron. It's from Gaza Strip, Gaza, Gath is the old name, Gath up to Hebron. It's a 50-mile walk, and he carries the gates of the city. And how did he do it? He is a hero of faith. He's a man to live by faith. What can you do? I don't know what you and I can do, but I know that God is our God. Our God is not the ungodly God, a selfish God, a foolish God, a stupid God. Unfortunately, much of our culture is following a stupid gods and making stupid decisions and saying stupid things. And I don't expect you to do that. I expect you and I to be wise, loving, passionate, caring, having our family. If you're a dad, be a good dad. If you're a pastor, be a passionate one, a good one, a fighter, a believer. Be a pastor that cares for people and minister the gospel and tell the people that are in the streets and the highways and byways that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead and come to him by faith and have your life changed by a living God. Isn't that amazing? And if you're a woman, be a godly woman and a motivated woman and a kind woman and a quiet woman. A quiet one in 1 Peter chapter 3. A quiet one. A quiet one. That's a good word. A quiet one. I've got 2 Kings 4, and we can't do it tonight, but there she is standing in the doorway, and there's Elijah saying, "You're going to have a son in a year." And she said, "Don't play around with me." He said, "It's going to happen." It happened. The son died. And she just took the son, put him in, and she just left. And she just left to go find Elijah. And the people coming around her said, "Is everything okay? Is everything?" She said, "Everything's fine." And "Everything's fine." She meets people on the way. "Hey, are you worried? Are you troubled by this?" "Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. Everything's fine." I'm in her heart, she's saying, "I'm going after Elijah. I need a word because my son died. And I know from Elijah, my son came into the world in the sense of the promise. And now he's dead and I don't know what's going on. But I need a man of God. I don't need to chatter. I don't need to talk to you about how bad my husband is, how bad my wife. I don't need to talk about stuff. I want to be a godly woman and say everything's fine. I'm not talking about anything. Not by any means, I'm going to the man of God. I need a word from God because I want to live by faith. You're not going to steal my faith away from me. I'm not going to talk to everybody in the world of reason. I'm not going to talk to sensual and carnal people that are drawing me into temptation. I'm not going to be seduced by seducing spirits in the end times. No, I'm going to live by faith in a holy, awesome God. Find a quiet, secret place under the shadow of the Almighty, and he will deliver me from the pestilence. Yeah, COVID. He'll deliver me, and I had it probably. I lost my taste and smell, but it didn't touch me. Like the statistics say, 99.7% of the people that get it don't die from it. Isn't that good news? Wait until a real plague comes. I mean, that is a real one, but oh no, now I get a kind of, hey, listen. Listen, the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence that comes, the problems that happen to everybody, everyday people, it all is part of life. Live by faith. That's the message. Your daughter's in trouble, live by faith. Your son's in trouble, live by faith. Your marriage is in trouble, live by faith. Come to the church, hear God's word, and may it build you up build us up, and we live by faith. Okay? Amen. Let's pray. Thanks for coming out to listen tonight. May God bless you for doing that. And He does. And He does. He helps us. He helps us, Lord. We are in days, great days of excitement in our spirit, great days of worship, great days of faith, great days of declaring Your precious word to our hearts. For we will fail. We will fail. We will struggle. We will live like Jesus found it tough at times, and he was broken many times by what was going on around him, but he showed us how to live by faith in what his Father said. And he changed history. More than that, eternity. For we will inhabit eternity. If you are not a believer in him, please come to Jesus tonight. We say it compassionately, compellingly, please, as you are. You don't clean up your life. He cleans up your life for you. You don't change. He gives you a new life, and he'll teach you. And yes, forsake the sinful ways and find him. You will know him. He will fill you and satisfy you. And we want you to learn to walk with him. Say, Jesus, save me. In your heart to God, please say that. If you want an usher to talk to you, just raise your hand tonight here in the auditorium. If you want an usher to talk to you and say, yes, I like somebody to talk to me about my new faith in him. Anyone, raise your hand. Okay. Amen.